The word for our house, the year of maximum kingdom manifestation. There are a number of things to really unpack around this this word and this thought. I said that I believe this is a year of wealthy places. It's a year of global harvest. It is a year of angelic reinforcements. And I want you to take the time to really look and seek out, and you will see and hear what God is doing. I made this statement that I want to make again for those of you that have businesses or entrepreneurs, those of you that are launching out, desiring to do things in the marketplace, that God is moving in what this particular author calls Holy Spirit entrepreneurship. And it really just simply aligns with what God desires to do through you in business and in the marketplace. This author, Mark DuPont, made this statement. One of the essential reasons we need Holy Spirit-inspired strategies is to enable us to distinguish between good ideas and God ideas. You can have good ideas, and there's nothing wrong with that. But what we really want is the God ideas. Because how many of you know his ideas are much greater than ours? Matter of fact, the word says he does exceeding abundantly above that which we could ask or think according to the power that works on the inside of us. And so, those of you that have businesses, those of you that are aspiring to venture out into greater business endeavors, would you stand real quick? Just those of you, I want you to stand. I want to just pray over you right now. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, right now, Lord, I pray and I thank you for this moment to join my faith with my brothers and sisters, those that are called, God, in the marketplace, those are called in the area of business and marketplace, and those that are called to launch new businesses, those that are called to continue in what they're doing, but you desire to take it to the next level. And so I thank you right now, Father, that even as they are responding in faith to stand and answer the call, Father, I thank you that it will be in this year that you will release a greater measure of your grace. You will release a greater measure of your wisdom that will help them, that will cause each one of them to know exactly what it is that you have for them. Not the good idea, but your idea. They want the God idea. They want your idea. And so, Father, I thank you right now for the impartation. Come on, just lift your hands. I receive the impartation of Holy Spirit right now. Greater wisdom, greater revelation, greater insight. Now, Father, I pray right now for resources coming to them right now. Lord, some are launching out and they're wondering where the resources are going to come from. But I thank you right now that the resources are on their way right now. Father, I pray for those that have ventured out and they hit a wall, or maybe they somehow something stopped, something slowed down. I thank you right now for rebuilding. I thank you for reestablishing. Excuse me. I thank you for new momentum. I thank you for fresh momentum. I thank you for fresh strength right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that as they come into this year, any weariness that they felt as they ended out last year, that weariness is coming off of them right now in the name of Jesus. They are being refreshed by Holy Spirit. And they will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Father, I pray for those who have been waiting for the answers and the directions even to move forward. God, that you're speaking right now. You're speaking right now. I declare, I believe that you're speaking right now, Father. And I pray, Father, that even in this first quarter, in January, February, March, by the end of March, those under the sound of my voice will know the plan. They will have the strategy, and they will begin to move forward. Father, I pray for those that have been working with seemingly a lack of finances and a lack of resources, but have stayed with you and continue to stay with you. And so I thank you that it's in 2024 that they will experience, God, the wealthy places. They will experience a greater measure of wealth, and they will use it well. They will use it wisely. I thank you for that. Father, I pray and I bind the hand of the enemy. I rebuke God, the strongholds that are trying to hinder your people from prospering and moving forward in purpose, in vision, in destiny. And I thank you right now for victory. Just begin to thank God for victory. 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 Come on, say, God, I thank you for my victory. I thank you for my increase. I thank you for my success. In Jesus' name, would you just shout now? Just shout amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Maximum kingdom manifestation. In Romans 8, 14 through 19, it's a familiar passage for our house, but it's one that I want to read starting as I take time to share from a particular, what's going to be a series over the next few weeks. Romans 8, verse 14, starting at 8:14, it says this, "For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Would you say mature ones? Okay, anytime it says the sons of God, you know it's not gender specific, but it's talking about a place of maturity, okay? There are children of God, then there's sons of God. How many sons of God do we have here today? Let me see. Come on, it's okay to lift your hand. Come on, I'm a son of God. Yeah, you need to know where you're at. Ain't that right, LaShawna? You need to know where you're at. You want to be able to identify where you're at. Okay, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. "For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have received not a spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, heirs," come on, shout heirs.
Heirs.
Come on, heirs of God,
heirs.
"And joint heirs with Christ." Now I need you to pause right there and just thank the Lord. Come on. Come on, thank him.
Thank you, Lord.
No, I mean really thank him, though. I mean, yeah, come on. It's good to clap, but just say thank you, Jesus. I thank you that you've included me. I thank you that I am adopted. How many of you know that in the world of adoption, that when someone is adopted, everything that family has is now the individual's as well? We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs with Christ. "If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him." Then it says this, "For I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed toward us. For the earnest expectation of creation waits for the revealing, the manifestation of the sons of God."
Thank you, Jesus.
The world is waiting. The world is looking. I'm talking about God's creation. "For the earnest expectation of creation waits for the revealing or the manifestation of the sons of God." That's why we are in a space right now, if you will, of maximum kingdom manifestation.
Yes.
And make no mistake about it, that with everything that's going on and all the stuff we hear out in the news, God's plan is working. His word is working. And it will be evidenced through individuals like you and I who recognize the power of God in us and we're willing to give ourselves to be used by God wherever he sends us, wherever he takes us. You see, the manifestation of a maximum kingdom manifestation and the manifestation of God's power in us and through us isn't something that's far from us. That's why the acknowledgement of Holy Spirit on the inside helps us to be able to live a life that really makes a difference. The same power, that raised Jesus from the dead is where?
On the inside.
It's on the inside of us. I need you to pause and just think about that for a minute. That is unlimited power, unlimited resource that's available to you and I. Maximum kingdom manifestation. God has purposed in this year to manifest his glory in ways that cause people to be drawn to him. And he's counting on you, and he's counting on me to do our part. See, this isn't real heavy and real deep. It really isn't. When we talk about maximum kingdom manifestation, what we're really talking about is letting God be God in our lives so that he gets the glory. And those that are around us are able to see something different about us that causes us to be that light that's talked about in Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for the light is coming. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The glory, the glory, the glory has risen upon you. Very recently, I was talking with a gentleman. I'm going to be traveling in about a couple weeks to a retreat. And in this retreat, I've been asked to participate. I've been asked to lead the worship and be one of the speakers. I did earlier retreats with them over 2021 and 2022. And when I reached out to him, I reached out to him because he had written in an email sharing about myself and the two other presenters. And he says, and John W., that's what they call me, he said, John W. is going to lead us in worship, and he's going to share on worship. And he made this statement, he said, and he made this statement, he said, I think that's all I can really say about him. So when we talked, and I said, now, I need to know for sure, do you want me to teach on worship, or do you want me to teach on something else? And he said, John W., he's a very precious man. He said, I don't know. He said, because I don't know how to describe you. He said, I want you to just do whatever Holy Spirit says for you to do. He said, because I don't know with you. And I took that as a compliment of him saying, based on how God used you the last time, he said, I don't know. He said, I had to put something down. See, I'm talking about maximum kingdom manifestation. There's more to you than just what you do. There's more to you than the one dominant gift in you. You see, I have intentionally tried to walk in a way to not get locked in. I could have stayed right in the worship lane, particularly after we recorded Nation of Praise, and just kept right on going down that lane. But that's not what God said. Because what he's after is maximum glory, maximum kingdom manifestation. Now, what that means sometimes, Pastor Val, is you got to be okay with stopping something that you're really good at for something that you're not good at, but one day you will be good at. And then he kind of brings them both together. So I'm honored. We're going to go down, and I'll tell you this. When I went there, we had just, in this house, we had just, the chorus, Don't Want to Miss This Moment, was birthed. And so when I went to this conference, and I always worship out of my relationship, so I just sat at the keyboard and I began to sing, Don't Want to Miss This Moment. Don't Want to Miss This Moment. Do you know that most of those pastors that attended those sessions came away from it, and the thing that stuck with them the most was that. The gentleman that called me to book our flights, he says, no, John W., listen, man, because I'm talking to him about what kind of keyboard and things. He said, listen, we're going to make sure you have whatever you need. He said, because I'm telling you right now. He said, I just keep on singing. Now, this is a couple years later. Don't want to miss this moment. Don't want to miss this moment, this time with you. Come on, can you just say right now, I don't want to miss this moment, Lord. I don't want to miss this moment. This is our month of recalibrating. God has purposed to get maximum glory, maximum kingdom manifestation from our lives. And some of what I want to present to you today is the process that leads to that. I want to give an overview, and then I'm going to unpack it over the next few weeks with more scripture and that type of thing. Some of you will remember that many years ago, I did a series called The Process to His Manifestation. The Process to His Manifestation. And as I was praying about this time and what to share, the Holy Spirit reminded me of something that he said to me back in the summer through a prophetic word. See, I don't know whether you realize it or not, that as you and I steward what God gives us, and we steward it well, it becomes like a spiritual vault. Because the word that I received was, I see you, and Pastor Maurice already together, he said, I see you and I see a vault. He said, and I see the vault opening. And there's some really good stuff in that vault. So in part, even as I continue to walk in revelation and revelatory word, every now and then God says, I need to pull from the vault. See, you've got a vault. I got a vault. You got a vault. All of God's children got it. That just helped me remember that. Meaning your experiences. I'm talking about your experiences. And if you can take those experiences and recognize everything in your life God is using, God is working through it, then you'll find it won't be hard at all to display maximum kingdom manifestation. Some of you are doing it right now. You're doing it already. It takes an intentionality. It takes a willingness to submit, though. Because he deserves maximum glory. Say maximum glory. I still haven't gotten to my main points yet, but we're doing good time-wise. When I went through the season of the health challenge, there were so many things that I learned that are now in the vault. That when Holy Spirit says, get that out, get that out. Let me share a few of those things with you because I believe it will help you, particularly as we move more into this year. For some, because I'm trying to make this as plain as possible so you don't overthink it and miss God using you this year for maximum kingdom manifestation. So it was on the night in Montreal, Canada, as we were there, Pastor Maurice and I, my daughter Leslie, we were there. The end of November 2012, and we were in the suite. We had a really nice suite, the top floor, and I had the procedure, and we're sitting there, and we're just kind of resting, and I started to write some things and journal some things. And this is what I'm sharing with you from my vault. And it says this, I realized, and I wrote this that night, I realize that in and of myself, if I am not completely yielded and unconditionally surrendered, my flesh, my mind, my reason, my intellect, my will always lean towards a lesser version of a more powerful, more magnificent glory to which he is worthy of and is after. Can I read that again? Pastor Deborah, I'm sorry. I know I'm off script. Can I email this to you? Would that help? What'd you say? Y'all pray for me. I'm sorry. I just got so much that I'm trying to share. It's really important. So let me see if I can get this to Pastor Deborah while I'm sharing it. And then she can get it up on the screen. And that'll help. Some of you like to take pictures of that, and that's fine. We want you to be able to do that. So, okay, I heard it sound like it went, so. So I sat there and I found myself just reflecting and writing. And many of you know that for us, this was a 15-year journey from the diagnosis to the healing. And I found myself, I wrote this, I realized that in and of myself, if I am not completely yielded and unconditionally surrendered, my flesh, my mind, my reason, my intellect, my will always lean towards a lesser version of a more powerful, more magnificent glory to which he is worthy of and is after. What I'm trying to say there, not trying to say what I am saying, but I'm going to try to capsulize it here, is that if I'm not intentional, I will stop before God is done. If we're not intentional, you will stop before God is done. We just say, that's enough. Surely, this is enough. Surely, I've gone as far as I need to go. We're talking about maximum manifestation, maximum kingdom manifestation, maximum glory. And because we have a will, you can stop at any point or any time. But there is something that happens when you really give yourself to God's processes, where you say, I'm staying in it. It hurts, but I'm going to stay in it. I don't like it, but I'm going to stay in it. And God, just get the glory. Say, get the glory. If we are not intentional, we'll just lean to a lesser version. A lesser version of the more powerful, more magnificent glory to which he, God, is worthy of and is after. Now, our God is not a taskmaster. He loves us. And everything he does in us and through us is to perfect us. And so sometimes we have to remind ourselves, even while we're walking it out, that there's more that weighs in the balance than just me. This is where we must balance, you guys. We must balance this thing around my purpose, my destiny, my purpose, my destiny. Yes, you have purpose. I have purpose. All God's people got purpose. We got destinies. However, you have to give yourself to the thought that somehow, and Pastor Jamal was speaking on this earlier, that your destiny is connected to someone else's. Your purpose is connected to someone else's. And you've got to be able to see the bigger picture. Some folks' stuff hadn't come together because your stuff hadn't come together. Because you have not stayed the course. I'm saying that there is the need for us to make that intentional decision that Paul made and talked about in the book of Acts, where he says that the Holy Ghost is leading me to a particular place. And in it, he's saying, I don't know what's going to happen there except that. And man, it was a challenging word to read, let alone walk it out. But he says in it, he says, the Holy Ghost is compelling me, leading me to go. And he says, and I don't know what is before me except, this is what it says, Acts chapter 20, verse 22. He says this, and now behold, bound in spirit, meaning he's saying, I'm being led by the Spirit. I'm bound by the Spirit. Can you say that? I'm bound by the Spirit. Yeah, let's be a little more specific. I'm bound by Holy Spirit. Yeah, we don't want to give room for nothing else. He says, and now, behold, bound in spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me. Now, you know, that's like strong emphasis. That's like Holy Spirit saying, let me make this real clear for you when you get there. And he says to him, solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds mean and afflictions await me, meaning jail, meaning prison, meaning beatings await me. And then he says this, but I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, in order that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. That's what I'm talking about here when I'm saying that if we have not made that kind of decision to be completely yielded, unconditionally surrendered, it's a good chance that some of what God has purposed to do in you and through you to bring about maximum glory, maximum manifestation, it just won't happen. Doesn't mean you're not going to heaven. We going to heaven, y'all. But it may mean that some of the impact that your life was supposed to have, that my life was supposed to have, will not happen. So I found myself sitting in that room that night, and I was just talking to the Lord about it. I was thanking him for my healing. I was thanking him for my healing. And I continued to write some things. I wrote, maximum glory often involves allowing others to walk with you through your journey. We're talking about maximum glory, maximum manifestation. Maximum glory often involves allowing others to walk with you through your journey. Sometimes we isolate ourselves, don't want somebody to know that we're going through this, don't want nobody. Don't do that. Your help is in the body. Your strength is in the body. Maximum glory often involves maximum manifestation. Often involves allowing others to walk with you through your journey, knowing your story, watching your story unfold, seeing your sufferings. Sometimes we all want to present ourselves well. We all want to present ourselves being together. But sometimes they need to see you limp. They need to know, because there's something about that level of glory that's different. And our drummer, John Stripling, he's still here somewhere in the building. John called me yesterday. We spoke on the phone. Said he would be here. He said, I'm having something going on with my wrist, with my hand. It's painful. And I said, are you going to be able to make it? He said, yeah, I'll be there. So when he got here, and I said, hey, John, how you doing? He said, I'm here. I'm limping, but I'm here. And all he was saying is, I'm dealing with this. Because, see, oftentimes, And this is a level of discipline here when we talk about this place of maximum glory, maximum manifestation. See, there are times when even the worship team, they're not feeling the best, but they still give themselves to it. There are those that are serving in other areas. They're not feeling the best, but they give themselves to it. So the whole time John's playing, now we prayed for him, believing for healing, but he could have been in pain the whole time. You don't know that unless he tells you that. But what I'm saying to us, sometimes as you're walking it through and we're talking about this place of maximum kingdom manifestation, maximum glory, that many times you need to be able to share something about what you're dealing with Sometimes they need to know your story. They need to watch your story unfold. Seeing your sufferings simply meaning your endurance, that you are enduring. Seeing His grace work in your life and trusting and glorifying God with you, meaning they're joining in the process with you. Is this making sense to you? We are talking about maximum kingdom manifestation, maximum glory. You're going to have opportunity this year to share more about your life and more about your story than you've ever said before. You need to get ready for it. Because God wants to use you, use me, use us. When God is getting glory from our lives, we are often the last to recognize it or see it. If we are not mindful, we become distracted and even discouraged by the situation we find ourselves in, not realizing and sometimes not willing to recognize that it is His will, it is the will of God for our lives. God walks you and I through processes, and we are being used by Him as a sign for others. There are times when others will see His glory on you first before you even recognize the glory of God on you. Make no mistake, I don't care how big or how small your world is, somebody's watching you and somebody's listening to you. Giving God glory in worship is different than God getting the glory out of our lives. Giving God the glory and allowing Him to get the glory are two different things. Remember I said a little earlier, if we're not intentional, we can settle for a lesser place. Oh, God, I just give you glory for that. He says, if you just stayed with it just a little longer, there's a whole nother place you could be in and a whole nother place where my glory is manifested. The songs that we sing, lost in your will, found in your grace, holding your hand, seeking your face, let me be anchored in the safety of your secret place, lost in your will, found in your grace. That song came out of those 15 years of trusting God for healing, but not knowing exactly how it was going to happen. I just knew I just needed to stay with it, stay with it, stay with it, stay with it. And remind myself, like the song says, I know you love me, and every plan you have for me is for my good. Your ways are much higher than I could ever imagine. So I've learned to put my trust in you, and I've learned to keep my eyes on you. I'm lost in your will, found in your grace. God will lead you down a pathway so that others can watch your journey, see His hand and dealings in your life. In essence, you are on display and don't even know it. This year is going to be a year of a heightened sense of recognizing that, so that you're able to walk with real intentionality and a level of discipline that causes God to be pleased. So let me talk a little bit about this process of leading to maximum kingdom manifestation. There are many processes, and there's many ways that God works in our lives. The body of Christ is diverse. But this is how He gave it to me. And so this is how I'm going to share it with you and those that will be watching. This process is a seven-step process. Separation, purification, consecration, maturation, impartation, utilization, and then manifestation. It'd be great if you want to just kind of get those. I'm going to go through these, and then we're going to unpack it over the next few weeks. For many of us, we find ourselves in certain places in this process. For each one of us, we're somewhere in this process. I want you to know that over the course of your life, over the course of my life, we will walk through this process numerous times as we grow in God. Right now is a time of separation. That's what this month has been about, time of refreshing, pulling back, separating ourselves. That's why we've given ourselves to the time in the evening times here to just say 1 hour, just set aside an hour to get still. When God is moving in our lives to bring us to a place of maximum manifestation, it starts with separation. Say separation. Separation. Say it a little louder, separation. Separation. In this particular place, there are seasons in all of our lives where God will call us to a time of separation. He does this to get our attention. It's often in this season that we get clarity concerning our future. Jesus often separated himself and found a quiet place in preparation for maximum glory, maximum kingdom manifestation. You must settle the fact that there will be times of separation. That word separation in the Greek means aphorizo. It means to separate, select to some office or work. As people of God, all of us have been selected, and we're all called out to be different. 1 Peter 2:9 says we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. One of the challenges that can be for most people is not having a discipline of pulling away, a discipline of getting still. See, if we're not intentional, life will run us. Life will run you, but that's not the way God intended it. Life will run you, and some other folks' lives will run you if you let it. In this place of separation, it's a pulling away. It's noted that it says that it was a custom of Jesus to separate himself, to pull away. The last time we see it was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and we talked about that in one of the devotional times, where it says, and Jesus went to the garden as it was his custom to pray. It was the most crucial time, because it was in that time of praying where he was saying, Father, if there's any way to remove this cup, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. That place of separation often is just like the Lord getting us off to ourselves so that he can begin to prepare us in a greater way for what he has for us down the road. After the separation, there's what Holy Spirit has shown me is the next step is purification. Say purification. That word purification means to remove contaminants, rid of unwanted elements, almost like a detox. How many know that it's good sometimes, and I believe, again, times are refreshing like what we do right now. This is like a spiritual detox. How many know what a physical detox? How many do physical detox? How many have done them? Where you detox your body. What you're doing is you're trying to get out of it all the junk. It's in this particular place that it's a season of cleansing. It is here that we begin to see ourselves in light of God's word. As we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, we begin to see the true motives, the true conditions of our hearts. We talk about the heart here as being the thoughts, desires, passions, appetites, affections, purposes, and endeavors. One of the challenges here is that it can be very painful, yet sobering time in our lives. Unfortunately, many stop at this point. Rather than receive God's grace and mercy to address some of the real hard stuff and sensitive issues. It's a crucial point because it's here that we often see what could potentially be a snare to us later in our Christian walk. It is here that we get the victory over any area that the enemy might try to claim rights to later. One of the teachings that we did during the times of refreshing had to do with the heart. One of the nights I did was on the word, it was integrity. The integrity of our hearts. The integrity of our hearts. Purify my heart, God. Purify my heart. My thoughts, my desires, my passions, my appetites, my affections, my purposes, my endeavors. God walks us through these seasons for maximum glory. Right now, one of the things that we're dealing with in the body of Christ is so many people walking around with titles and offices but never gone through the process. We've got more apostles and bishops than we know what to do with in the church. But make no mistake, you know the story about the seven sons of Sceva, right? Where they saw Paul working miracles and they tried to cast out a devil and the devil jumped on them and said, Paul, I know, Jesus, I know, but who are you? Make no mistake, you just can't put on a badge or a title and think you have the authority. There's a price, there's a process. That's what I'm talking about right here. There's a price and there's a process. So whether you have the badge on or not, in the realm of the Spirit, they know who you are. I want you to understand that right now, God is beginning to make this kind of demarcation. Those who have no power will be exposed for having no power. And those who truly have the power will come to the forefront, and God will use them for maximum kingdom manifestation. It's not the celebrity Christians that we need to be looking at. We need to be looking at one another and saying, I believe you got the goods. Stay the course. Our time is coming. Your time is coming. My time is coming. We are here, and the time is now. If you agree with that, come on, just say amen. Amen. Come on, say amen. Amen. Separation, say separation. Come on, purification. The next step is consecration. In this step of consecration is to make or declare sacred, connected with God. Dedicate formally to a religious or divine purpose. Deserves veneration, meaning regard with great respect. Something that's been consecrated. Someone that's been consecrated. This is the step where God sets us apart for a particular office or function or assignment. You see, David was consecrated. He was anointed to be king. That's what happened in Jesse's house. When Samuel came to anoint the one that God would show him, David was anointed. He was anointed to be. Say, to be. Yes. You see, it's in this place that you got to be real sensitive and you got to be real careful because in this place, you can begin to recognize the gifts that are in operation. It's here that God begins to reveal to us the reason for the gifts in our lives and the reason why they must remain pure and devoted to Him. Often in this season, others will see your gifts and talents and begin to speak words of encouragement, confirming words and sometimes prophetic. God allows this in order to give us vision and hope for the future. We must be careful, though, in this season to not let others define what only God has the right to. And that's why these steps are so important, because you see, you know, some of you, you've grown up, and when you were young, people could see gifting. They could see, oh, God, I see God's hand. God's going to use you. You're a little preacher, you know. God ain't calling you to be no preacher. You're going to be a businessman or something. You're going to be a doctor. You're going to be a lawyer, you know. You may be a teacher. You know, it's like, wait a minute. Let's just... You know, but depending on the paradigm. And unfortunately, when that happens, sometimes we start to go down a road that God never intended. Now, can He use us? Yes. Will He use us? Yes. But at the same time, if it's not the exact place, then it's not maximum glory. Is this making sense to you? And so we have to be sensitive to that. We have to be careful. Often it's in this place, again, it says here, in this season, where God begins to show us the reason for our gifts and why they must remain pure and devoted to Him. Music is in my family. Music is in my family. It's all throughout my family. I was willing to receive, accept, and then honor once God helped me to recognize that gift I gave you is for this. Not in the clubs, not playing R&B. Nothing wrong with that, y'all. I got some dear friends, brothers and sisters, that playing in some clubs and putting out some good music. I'm talking about me. It's in this place of consecration that once you understand what it is you're being set aside for, consecrated for, you guard that with your life. You guard that with your life. Because you see, not only are those that are involved recognize it, but the enemy recognizes it as well. Just like when Jesus was baptized, you remember when He came up out of the water? And the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Guess what? Everybody heard that. The devil heard that. He went into the wilderness and was tempted for 40 days. But when it came out, it says He came out full of power. What I'm talking about here is a process that brings you to a place where you're full of power. There's a level of confidence that you have because you've walked through the process. You didn't shortcut the process. Say consecration. From consecration, we move to maturation, meaning now this is the stage where you go to school. Yeah, this is where you go to school. Say maturation. It is here that God will allow various situations and circumstances to test us and prove us. We are often stressed and challenged during this time. And as written in the book of James, we must let patience have its perfect work, that she be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In order to come to the place of maturity, we must pass every test. Depending on the call, depending on what you have been set apart for, has everything to do with the classes and the courses that you are on and that you will take. How many of you know that there are, in higher learning, there are the general courses that you take. Then you move into the specialty courses based on your degree, based on your calling. It's no different here. For some, how many of you know that you can go to college for 4 years, get a bachelor's degree? You can go 2 years and get an associate's degree. You can go 4 years and get a bachelor's degree. And then depending on where you go from there, it depends on how many more years to get your master's or your doctorate degree. If you're going to school for medicine and those kind of things, it's a lot longer and a lot longer. Law, all of that. My point with that is this. For some of you, I want to encourage you by saying this. You may be wondering why it hasn't landed yet the way that you expected. You're still in school. You're still in part of the process. And God will graciously give us what we need, just as when you go through those higher levels of education, oftentimes you will have individuals who work with you. Some of them are called, you can call them coaches, but there's also those advisors that will work with you, those who have gone before you, that now become mentors for you. This is the place of maturing. It's what the writer speaks about in Peter, 1 Peter 5, where it says, verse 6, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your anxiety or your care upon him because he cares for you. Be sober, be watchful, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. You see, the enemy will want you to drop out. He wants you and I to drop out of this process. And this is the most likely spot right here. Because sometimes the learning can get heavy. It can get weighty. The testing can make you feel like, I don't know what I'm doing. But I like what Sandra Cindy Sosa said at her graduation. Many of some of you know Cindy Sosa. She's going to school for law now. Cindy started out going to school to be a veterinarian. But when she got into the process of it, when she got into the maturation stage, it became overwhelming for her. She lost desire. And she took time off in order for the Holy Spirit to help her reset herself. And so she stopped that, re-engaged, and now excelling. She was the keynote speaker for her graduating class. And yeah, and when she got up, she said, in her Australian accent, which I can't do, she says, "This is my message, and I know it's going to be counterintuitive to this gathering, but my message is it's okay to quit." And you could see everybody like, "What's she saying?" But by the time she broke that thing down, talking about her own life. And so when we were eating afterwards, we had a meal together. And we were sitting and everyone was sharing different things, encouraging her. I said, I was so encouraged by what you shared. I said, I may even speak on it at some point, like right now. I said, I would just add one caveat to it. It's okay to quit. Just don't stop. See, all she did was make a course correction. I'm going to stop doing this, but I'm not stopping. When you get... See, when you get to this point in the process, y'all, this here is what's going to make the difference in what God is able to get out of your life. For some of you right now, it's tough. Looks nothing like you thought it was going to look. Find yourself in the process and stay the course. Find yourself in the process and allow God to minister grace to you. Ministering angels will minister to you to help you get yourself back up. It's okay to quit. Just don't stop. The writer here is saying, be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour, who he can get to quit. But the writer goes on and says, keep going, being steadfast in your faith, knowing that the same sufferings, the same dealings, the same classes, the same courses, the same processes are being accomplished in your brethren who are in the world. We're just in different levels and different places. But somehow we're all somewhere in these processes that I'm talking about. And God is saying, if you stay with me, you will graduate with honors. You will graduate with honors. And the God of all grace who called you unto his eternal glory in Christ, after that you have suffered a while, that word suffer, it's from the word hupomino. It just simply means to endure. Sometimes people get scared of the word suffer because nobody wants to suffer. I'm talking about endurance here. After you have endured, he himself will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. You see, those are the main objectives of this part of the process. To perfect you, to mature you, to establish you, to strengthen you, and to settle you. It takes discipline. It takes great discipline and patience to wait on the Lord and not take matters into your own hands. Everyone who is living for Christ is going through something. Before God will release to us our inheritance, he will provide us with the training needed to be ready for it. Y'all still with me? Can I keep going? Okay, I only got, let me see. I got three more steps. It's getting better. I know this may feel like a lot, y'all, but I can't do the fluff. I just can't do it. I can hype you up all day long, but if I don't give you something to walk it out, I'm no real help to you. If I don't give you the tools to be able to navigate through what's going on, then I need to go get me a job at Walmart. Be a greeter. There's nothing wrong with being a greeter at Walmart. I just need to say that right now. Glory. Come on. I want you to say it with me. Say separation. Purification. Consecration. Maturation. The next one is impartation. It's a good one, y'all. Well, they're all good. Just some feel better than others. It is here that you are anointed and set in your office or calling. Unlike the earlier stage of consecration where you are anointed to be, here you're anointed to do. Yeah. And some of you are right there. As a young boy, David was anointed to be king, but after many trials and tests, he was now ready to serve as king. David ran from Saul for a long time. He hid in caves and villages to avoid a confrontation with Saul. Excuse me. Even though he knew he was anointed to be the next king, he understood that it would be in God's timing and God's way when he would take the throne. There's a difference when you're anointed to be and then you're anointed to do. Because when you're anointed to be, it's simply bringing clarity to you and what God wants to do in you and through you. But once you walk through a couple of those processes, and particularly the maturation process, then God says, now it's time for you to receive the impartation to do. So for me, it was in, I can't remember the exact year, but I remember when it was my mother-in-law who called me and said, John, you need to understand, you need to study the office of an apostle. First thing from my mind, she brought me a book to read. I don't even know if I read the book, but she saw something. It was 15 years later from that time that she spoke that to me reaching this place of the impartation, where men and women from all over the city came to our church and laid hands on me and affirmed and confirmed, yes, you are called to be an apostle. Not because it's something in the future, I was already doing it. So I want you to understand that in this season of maximum kingdom manifestation, for some of you, you're already doing it. It's just about to go to another level. It's about to go to another level. And David had the patience to wait on God. As a matter of fact, there was a time when he found Saul in a cave, and one of his men came to him and said, we found him. You can take him out right now. And he said, I can't do it. Went in and cut off a piece of his robe, and he repented for that. Said, you don't touch God's anointed. You don't touch God's anointed. After maturation, then there is the impartation. After the impartation is utilization. Meaning, you're doing it now. You're now doing the very thing that God has gifted you for and called you to do. You are producing fruit, and you are producing fruit that remains. It is here that you are able to move with assurance that God is with you, because you know that you have gone through his process. One of the things that I didn't mention about that maturation and that maturing process is how, because you see, you can think you're somewhere that you're not. Only time will prove it out. And when you rely on giftings in your life and you rely on things that you hear people say about you, how wonderful, how anointed you are, you can really think you're somewhere that you're not. So you can think more should be coming to you than what really where you're at, and God only knows that. But I remember the season when I'm crying out to God and I'm saying, Lashana, I'm saying, God, when are you going to fulfill these words that I'm getting? I mean, aren't you reading them? Because I got them all transcribed. God, aren't you reading them? But it was in that season of maturation that God spoke this to me, and I offer this to some of you and those that are watching. Because this was one of those kind of things where if he had a mic, he'd have dropped it after he said this. He said, to the degree that you discipline your life is to the same degree I will fulfill what I've shown you. To the degree, Pastor Deborah, could you type that in? I just feel like somebody needs to screenshot that. To the degree that you discipline your life is to the same degree that I will fulfill what I've shown you. You must understand that as you and I move in God, grow in God, the levels of discipline increase. If you're wondering why things are stuck where you're at, maybe you just haven't disciplined yourself a little more. This place of utilization, now you're doing the very thing that God has gifted you for and called you to do. You are producing fruit, and fruit that remains. Fruit that remains. Fruit that remains. You can produce fruit, and it just does. It comes and it goes. But Jesus said, I've called you to bear fruit, and fruit that remains. In this place of utilization, it is here that you're able to move with assurance, and I want to say, and confidence. Not arrogance, but confidence that God is with you because you know that you've gone through, submitted to his processes. To the degree that you discipline your life, is to the same degree I will fulfill what I've shown you, God. That'd be a great billboard. I need to put that on a mug and drink from that occasionally. To the degree that, that's a deep one right there, y'all. That means I can show you all day long. But if there's never the corresponding actions, if you're not walking through the process I take you through to get you there, then you might as well just put it on a mug and drink from it occasionally. So I'm finishing right now. And then Pastor Jamal's going to come and encourage us in our giving. That leads us to the final step, the maximum kingdom manifestation, the maximum glory in our lives. It's this place, hear me, it's this place that God is moving us into right now. It's the place that he's moving you into right now. Pastor Deborah, I'm sorry, I don't think you have this, because I just wrote this last night. I'm sorry. It's in this step that you are now fulfilling the purposes of God that God has for you in this season of your life. God is able to work in you and through you. I'll just pause because I think maybe, Deborah, maybe you do have it. God is able to work in you and through you and bring about maximum kingdom manifestation. You are experiencing the power of God. Miracles, signs, wonders, working through you to bring about his kingdom transformation in the lives and the places that he has placed you. That's what this is about. Let me say it again. You are now fulfilling the purposes of God. For the season that you're in, God is able to work in you and through you and to bring about maximum kingdom manifestation, maximum glory. You are experiencing the power of God. You're seeing miracles, signs, wonders working through you to bring about his kingdom transformation in the lives and places that he has placed you. You see, it's never, ever been about here. This is where we gather. This is where we are strengthened. This is where we are encouraged. When you get to this place of kingdom manifestation, maximum kingdom manifestation, you are a blessing to those around you. And you are sought out because people can see the hand of God, the favor of God, and the blessings of God on you. Now, y'all need to say amen right there. I'm trying to encourage you right now about this place that we're in. I'm just going to say this place I'm in. I think maybe three or four of y'all might be with me on this, but if y'all want to just join me, I'd appreciate it. When you get to this place, you are a blessing to those around you. You are sought out because people can see the hand of God on you, the favor of God, the blessing of God on you. Now that's, if that's you, just come on, say thank you, Jesus. Come on, it's okay to say that's me right there. Come on, that's me right there. That's me right there. You are God's answer to the cares of life. You bring peace to those in a storm. You bring healing to those that are wounded, sick, and afflicted. You bring deliverance to those who are bound and held captive. You bring comfort to those who hurt and mourn. You bring clothing to those who have none. You provide shelter to the homeless. You provide food for those who are hungry. You give to the poor. And you bring Jesus to those who are lost and dying. That's maximum kingdom manifestation. Now you need to get up on your feet and thank God for this being manifested in your life right now. Come on, right now. Shake off the stupor. Come on, shake off the stupor. I'm going to tell you again. You are a blessing to those around you. Say amen. Amen. Come on. You are sought after because of the hand of God, the favor of God, and the blessing of God that's on you. Amen. Come on, come on, come on. I you got to see it. 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 You're God's answers to the cares of life. No, y'all didn't really get it. Come on. You are God's answers to the cares of life. Somebody ought to be calling your number. Somebody ought to be texting you. Somebody ought to email you. Somebody ought to be knocking on your door saying, I need help. Can you introduce me to your God? Can you help me through this situation? You are the answer to the cares of life. You bring peace in the midst of the storm. You can walk in a room. You can walk into a situation where there's chaos. And when you show up, it just starts to get calm. Just because you walked in the room. You bring healing to the wounded, the sick, and afflicted. You can lay hands on the sick, and they're supposed to recover. That's part of your assignment. It's part of your DNA. You bring deliverance to those that are bound and captive. When you walk into a room, when you walk into a space, demons ought to tremble. Because when you show up, God shows up. When you show up, Holy Spirit shows up. I'm talking to you right now. You bring comfort to those that hurt, those that mourn, those that have been wounded. You have the words of life. You are able to speak. You are able to touch. You are able to bring the comfort. You give clothing. You bring clothing to those who have none. Jesus said to those when they said, when did we see you naked? He says, when you took care of those who had none. When you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me. We are the answer. You are the answer. Maximum kingdom manifestation. Provide shelter for the homeless, food for the hungry, give to the poor. Bring Jesus to all who are lost.